BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the battle over so-called same-sex marriage has been going on for a number of years. It was June 26, 2015, in a case known as Obergefell v. Hodges. A majority of the U.S. Supreme Court released their decision that they found such a right in our U.S. Constitution. There have been many standing up and saying that they will not be forced into acting against their religious convictions, and such has been the case with bakers and florists and website designers and, yes, even a county clerk who refused to bow down to this image set up. Her name is Kim Davis. Her case has been making its way through the courts. She is being represented by Liberty Counsel. Could it be that her situation might cause the downfall of same-sex marriage, the same-sex marriage idol which has been set up? Joining us today, we welcome constitutional attorney and founder of Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver. Matt has three landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He is an author. He's a host of radio broadcasts Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. Matt, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Jim.
Matt, just before we get into our main topic today of Kim Davis, what's happening there in so-called same-sex marriage, this past Sunday, September 17th, Constitution Day, I didn't hear a lot of media talk on this at all or reporting on it, but it's really a significant day in our nation's history as we are grateful for what the founding fathers have put into place. And it's been repeated through our history that on the last day of the convention, a lady asked a question of Benjamin Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarch?" And he replied, "A republic, if you can keep it." And the Constitution Convention 1787, some of the founders used the term miracle in describing how the Constitution came to be. What are your thoughts on this historic anniversary?
Well, it's very historic, and it's actually a congressional resolution to acknowledge September 17 every year as Constitution Day. And so we celebrate that every year. In fact, this ought to be something that's celebrated in schools, public, private, across the country every year is Constitution Day. When we look at America, it's the longest surviving government on the planet with a single constitution. We've had the same constitution with some amendments from the inception. And this is in comparison to many other countries that have constantly changing governments, even changing of the nation's name, we have been stable because of this constitution and the history that we have enjoyed from the very founding. In fact, if you go back to 2017, this is what actually started the Hal Shurtleff case. Hal Shurtleff, the founder of Camp Constitution, amazingly named Camp Constitution, wanting to celebrate the Constitution and teach the Constitution to young people. He wanted to have a celebration of the Constitution in Boston during Constitution Week, the week of September 17, 2017. And he applied to have a gathering of about an hour or so, and part of that gathering also included one of their public forum, which was a flagpole. So you could have a gathering down on the plaza, and then one of the flagpoles, there was an application process where you could use that flagpole to raise the flag representing your gathering for that day. And he filed the application for 12 years. There were 284 approvals, no denials, but his was the first denial. And they denied it because of the word Christian on the application. Hal Shurtleff wanted to celebrate the Judeo-Christian heritage and history of Boston, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and the founding fathers. You had John Adams and John Quincy Adams and so many others from Boston and the Massachusetts Commonwealth. And he was told that you could fly the flag, but you have to change the word Christian on the application. As long as you use a non-religious word, like anything else, Camp Constitution flag, whatever, you could fly it, but if your perception of this is Christian, you can't. And we know the history. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and on May the 2nd last year, we got a 9-0 decision that ruled in our favor. This ultimately led to the overruling of the 1971 Lemon versus Kurtzman case that did damage to the First Amendment. And in fact, just this week, just a few moments ago, in fact, I read an article where a school district has now banned all the LGBTQ flags. They're only going to fly the government flags of the state and of the United States of America. They're not going to get into this LGBTQ, which is what Boston did, and they allowed that, plus many others, but not anything that was deemed Christian. This case is having and continues to have a huge impact, yeah. But it all started because of Constitution Week.
And that was indeed a landmark decision that you fought there at Liberty Council, 9-0 from the court, a tremendous decision. And as you said, its impact is being felt in so many areas. Matt, we'll be talking about Kim Davis today, but just before coming in the studio, I just went to the U.S. Constitution. I did a quick word search, and somehow I'm missing it. I'm not finding the word marriage in our U.S. Constitution. Am I missing something here?
No, you're not. You know why? You don't find a lot of things in the Constitution because it was designed for a specific purpose to limit the federal government from encroaching on certain rights of the states and certainly individuals, and that's particularly the Ten Amendments, the federal government encroaching on individual rights like free exercise of religion, freedom of speech, mm-hmm. right to assembly and petition the government, and so forth. But what you don't find marriage. And the reason why you don't find that, you don't find a lot of things that otherwise would be very important to us. And the reason for that is it's a no-brainer. Why would you put marriage as the union of a man and a woman in a constitution when, in fact, it's obvious? Just like, why would you put in the constitution that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening? That happens without, mm-hmm. our input. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. That is the foundation of family. It was something that was obviously important on the states, and it transcended governments. It pre-existed the Constitution, pre-existed the founding of the United States of America. It goes back to the very beginning in creation through millennia of history. It wasn't tied to political ideologies or geographical locations or time frames. It's always been obvious that it is the union of a man and woman because male and female are obvious and objective. So you wouldn't put something like that in the Constitution. But what happened is, so how did the Supreme Court even, come to this conclusion? That all of a sudden there's a so-called constitutional right, not to marriage, but to same-sex marriage. They came to this by a judicial activist decision at the end of June 2015, a 5-4 decision. And that 5-4 decision is on very weak ground because three of the justices that were in the majority at that time are no longer on the Supreme Court. They are gone. They are no longer part of the Supreme Court. So there's only two people that are left that were part of that 5 decision. They have been replaced, the three people that were in on that majority, they're no longer there. So we have a different court. Moreover, we have a Chief Justice back in 2015 who wrote a very scorching dissent. And it's the most scorching dissent I've ever read, frankly, by any justice, let alone a Chief Justice. Why? Because he doesn't call the 5 voters in that majority opinion. He doesn't call it a decision. He doesn't call it an opinion. He says it's just an opinion of 5 lawyers. He doesn't call them justices. Hmm. He doesn't call them his colleagues. He calls them 5 lawyers, and that it has nothing to do with the Constitution. And it really shreds that decision as just being the opinion of 5 people superimposed onto the public with no foundation in the Constitution itself.
Wow, that is amazing. And Matt, that really sets the stage for what we're talking about today in the program. And I'd like to have you introduce us again. We've talked about this long time ago, but introduce us again to Kim Davis, the former county clerk for Rowan County, Kentucky. Tell us her story.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. Kim Davis, she is retired now, but she was the elected clerk in Rowan County, Kentucky. And she became elected in 2014. Her mom had been in that clerk's position for about 30-plus years, one of the longest elected officials in the state of Kentucky. And then what happened is in 2014, she had a back injury, and she wasn't able to continue the job. So Kim Davis had been working with her mom as an assistant clerk. She was one of several. And she was helping her mom, and she was also then keeping the clerk's office operational. And then her mom asked her, have you thought about running for office? And she thought she was just going to retire when her mom retired. She prayed about it, talked to her pastor, and believed that she should run for office. She was so busy running the clerk's office, though, she'd never had time to actually campaign. But she won the election as a Democrat, because back then all the people in that area were all Democrats. She later left the Democratic Party and became Republican after this litigation occurred. But she won as a Democrat, and she was the elected clerk in 2014. And as soon as 2015, and she was seated as the clerk, she began to work with other clerks and the governor at the time, a Democratic governor, Stephen Beshear, to try to get religious accommodation in the event that the Supreme Court would go the wrong way on this opinion involving same-sex marriage. And in fact, the court did go the wrong way in 2015. The Democratic governor denied her request for religious accommodation, although he gave his attorney general an accommodation to not defend the state constitutional amendment that said marriage is the union of a man and a woman. So he allowed him not to defend it for conscience reasons, but he wouldn't allow Kim Davis to opt out of having her name, title, and authority on a marriage license that conflicts with God's design for marriage. He wouldn't allow that. So religious liberty for some, but not for others, and certainly not for Kim Davis or anybody who had a conscious objection. So that's how this case began. When the decision came down, Kim decided she wasn't going to issue any licenses across the board until her request for religious accommodation and the legislature came in to resolve the situation was addressed. And that's when these two individuals, David, the Ermels, we call them the two Davids, and there were others, but they saw this person on social media, Kim Davis, who was refusing to issue any marriage licenses while she was requesting a religious accommodation. They were not planning to get married. They went down to the clerk's office, and they had their cell phones, and they wanted to intimidate her, and they were videotaping their intimidation of Kim Davis, and they put it out on social media, and the next day it went viral, and then they decided, lo and behold, you know what? They ought to get married and to continue this charade and this sham. So they went down to try to get a marriage license for her, and she refused to give any licenses. The ACLU filed suit. We ended up, making a long story short, we ended up getting her religious accommodation in 2015 after the Republican governor, Matt Bevin, was elected in November. He gave her an accommodation in December. In April of 2016, she got the accommodation at the legislature, and then we'll continue the story.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's important for you to know this framework and of who Kim Davis is and what led up to these cases against her. And friends, these cases are still in the court and could have the potential of overturning Obergefell. More information after the break. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was Genesis written as poetry?
No, it wasn't, Chris, but this has been a favorite claim of liberals, subtly indicating that Genesis was a work of art and not meant to be taken as literal history. But this has been shown to be false. At the Institute for Creation Research, we've investigated this claim. It was found by statistical analysis of the verb tenses used in the Genesis account of creation that it's about the least poetic passage in all the Old Testament. It was written as sober narrative history and was meant to be understood by its readers as history. Of course, even if it were poetry, it doesn't mean it's not to be believed. Who says God can't write with flair? But he wrote Genesis as a sober historical account, and we need to believe it as such. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
For more on the foundational principles set forth in Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us here today on Crosstalk. And yes, their organization, Liberty Counsel, representing Kim Davis. There's so much more to unpack in the story here, folks, even in some recent decisions just days ago. And we'll tell you about that decision and the implications. But Matt, as you were introducing us to Kim Davis, it sounds like she was purposefully targeted. Is that correct?
Oh, there's no question about it. In fact, the two Davids, they did an interview with GQ magazine. And in that interview, they said that they had never talked about getting married with each other. And it wasn't until they actually saw the name Kim Davis circulating on social media that they said, hey, let's go down, check out what's happening. And they took their cell phones. And then they wanted to be belligerent with her, and they videotaped them asking her questions, and then they put it out on social media. I say asking questions. They were, you know, raising their voice, and Kim was very calm and just talking to them. And then they put it on social media. It went viral, and then they're kind of like, well, what do we do now? In order to continue their charade, they went back about five more times, and they videotaped it. And they got their time of fame on social media, and that's when they decided, let's go ask for a marriage license. And that's how this whole thing started. It was a sham case from the very beginning, and they targeted Kim Davis specifically. Now,
they could have gone someplace else, too, correct?
Yeah, they could have gone someplace else because there were other clerks. In fact, one of them worked at the University of Pikeville and drove right past one of the clerk's offices that was giving out marriage licenses to same-sex couples. But instead of stopping there to get one, no, they would drive over to Kim's office, and they would target her solely because of her Christian faith and values. It's been a very targeted, concerted effort to come against Kim Davis and anybody who has Judeo-Christian values regarding marriage, and that's why they targeted her.
So tell us more about her. I mean, she gave her life to the Lord.
Yeah, this is, you know, I had a phone call from BuzzFeed. This was back in 2015, and they asked me, I think it was BuzzFeed that asked this question. They said, you know, the other side said they just want to be in a committed relationship, but your client, Kim Davis, she's made a mess out of marriage, and she's been married four times and divorced, and now she's remarried to one of those husbands that she divorced. And what do you say to that? And to this day, I don't remember what I said, but I do know what I did as soon as I got off the phone. I called Kim, and I said, Kim, what's this about? Tell me about your past history. And she told me, she goes, you know, I've always been a good mother, but I've not been a good person. And she told me that she had failed marriages, and she has been remarried at the time to her second husband. And she had been remarried to him for about, I think it's 18 years then. Of course, they're still married, so it's now well over 20-some years that they've been married. But she said, you know, what happened was my godly mother-in-law was on her deathbed, and they were visiting her on at the hospital. And her godly mother-in-law said to her, Kim, you need to get your life in order. You and your family, please go to church. This was her deathbed dying wish. So they left that hospital, and they found a church locally. They went to the church, and Kim's intention was just to check it off, that she was going to do what her mother-in-law had asked her to do, and then she'd go on about her ungodly life. And she went to that church, and the pastor she heard preaching from the book of Galatians about God's grace and forgiveness. And she said at that moment, when she heard about God's love and grace and forgiveness, she went to her knees, and she became a broken woman. And that's when she gave her life to the Lord, as did her whole family. And that happened 4 years before this Obergefell decision in 2015. So when the media, after that, we issued a press release, and I said this on every major network, I said it worldwide, I never got interrupted. I said, you know, if you want to know why Kim Davis is not issuing these marriage licenses and she won't put her name, title, and authority on a marriage that conflicts with God's design for marriage, is because she doesn't want to be unfaithful to her Lord. You have to understand what happened to her. And I would share her conversion testimony. And I did it on CNN and MSNBC and C-SPAN and every network, ABC, CBS, NBC, over and over again. I shared that. Never once got interrupted. Fox. I did it on all of them. And that's Kim Davis. And Kim Davis, you know, would not be unfaithful to her Lord because she is a transformed woman. And she just really is one of the most sincere, godly women I've ever met. I remember when the federal judge sent her to prison and asked her, would she issue these marriage licenses? And she said no, that she can't do it. She's asking for a religious accommodation. She cannot put her title, her name, and authority on a marriage license that conflicts with God's design for marriage. She just can't do it. She believes that that would be a heaven or hell decision for her. And so the judge sent her to federal prison, amazingly.
Wow.
This is some things we never said publicly until much later. The jailer who drove her from the federal courthouse to the prison was a part-time pastor, and they were talking about the Lord as they got there. When she got to the prison in Kentucky, she was booked by some ladies who saw it on the news, and they were weeping as they were booking her. When she got to her prison cell and she put on the orange jumpsuit of a prisoner, she got a note from the people in the violent offender section, the men who are there for 10 years or more, so they've committed some violent crime or repeat offender. They heard that Kim Davis was coming because they saw it on the news. They sent her a note, a card, that they were praying for her.
Wow.
The next day I went and saw her. Her husband still wasn't even able to meet her except through a glass, and her children, her grandchildren, they could only go through a glass. We were able to go into a secure room. And I went into the secure room and hugged her, and I started to have tears come to my eyes. First words out of Kim's mouth is, "All is well." And I said, "Kim, what are you doing here in the cell when you're here, when I'm not here, other people are not here?" And she was talking about she's singing praises to the Lord. She's reading the Bible. She read about Paul, you know, from prison. She never thought she would be in prison. She actually had a Monday evening Bible study that she did every week for women in prison. She says, "Now I know what they're going through, and I'll be better prepared when I go out to be able to minister to these women who are in prison." It was an amazing scenario, amazing story. And then while we were there on the last day, the sixth day, there was going to be an event that Governor Huckabee was doing to bring attention to this. And that's when the judge ultimately let her go. And this garnered worldwide tension. And it became a centerpiece of discussion, not only in the United States, but around the world. So Kim Davis has been an amazing individual. As a result of her stand, Governor Matt Bevin was elected to office, one of the first Republicans in many, many decades to be elected as the governor of Kentucky. He attributes his win in part to the fact that he stood with Kim Davis, and he actually visited her while she was in prison and the other governor did not. And he got elected. Then in December of 2015, he gave an executive order giving accommodation to Kim and all the other clerks. Then the Democrat and Republican legislature in April of 2016, they came together unanimously passing legislation to give accommodation to all the clerks who wanted to remove their names from these licenses and not have their authority affixed to them. They did that for everybody. So all the clerks in Kentucky now have accommodation, all because of this woman, Kim Davis, who spent 6 days in prison. And now, so we have accommodation, and we won that case for religious accommodation. But now they're coming after her and say that they want financial damages, and they want her to personally pay their attorney's fees. And so that's been going on for years, several years. And so that's what we were in court for last week.
Okay, so Matt, you're talking about the two Davids now, David Yates and David Ermold?
Yes, yes. We have the Yates case, and we have the we'll call them the Ermold and the Yates case. They're two different plaintiffs, two different sets of plaintiffs. And so last week we were in federal court, and the judge, Bunning, had already issued a ruling that said Kim Davis would be personally liable. So he sent this case to trial on the issue of damages. And so last week we had trial, two different juries for, we'll call them the Emerald jury and the Yates jury, two different groups of people that filed suit, both represented by counsel. And both juries sat. The judge is the one that literally selected the jury. He wouldn't allow us or anyone to ask any questions. He's the one who did it. So he's the one who seated the juries, two people, two groups of six. And at the end of which, the one group, the Yates group, they wanted $300,000 within 45 minutes. The jury came back and said zero damages. And we were very happy with that. And then about 2.5 hours or so later, the Emerald, the two Davids, their jury came back and awarded them $50,000 apiece, or a total of $100,000, and that's personally against Kim Davis. So now that puts us in a situation with the case being finished with the damages portion. We will take this case up to the Court of Appeals, and we're going to do two things. We're going to argue two things, Jim. One, religious freedom. That should have been granted from the very beginning when she asked for an accommodation. She ultimately got it in Kentucky. But people in Kentucky, it's not just Kentucky where this controversy is. It's all over the country. So we're wanting to extend that same religious freedom nationally. But number two, we're also going to argue that the underlying case of Obergefell, the 5-4 decision where three justices are no longer on the bench, that ought to be overturned because it had no basis in the law, just like Dobbs overturned the abortion decision.
Mm-hmm. You know, and its impact is amazing, Matt. And I saw in your writing the press release saying, hey, she's not liable. She was entitled to a religious accommodation from issuing these marriage licenses, you know, under her name, under her authority. It conflicts with her religious beliefs. And how can she be tried for something in which she is to have a religious accommodation?
That's right. You know, and even in the Emerald case, you know, the Emeralds were trying to say, well, the damages was because David Emerald lost his job at University of Pikeville. Well, we brought in the HR director from the University of Pikeville, and they said, oh, no, it had nothing to do with Kim Davis. We were downsizing for budget reasons, and we had a number of people that we downsized, including David Rummel. So they lost that as a damage calculation. Mm-hmm. So then they said, well, so we don't have that, so our damages are we have hurt feelings. Well, you can't have hurt feelings without other evidence, like medical evidence or other third-party evidence. And they had no exhibits and no other testimony. They just said, my feelings were hurt. Well, the jury has no basis to grant that kind of damages. But even if you had a basis to grant damages, which they didn't, she should never have been in this place from the beginning because she asked for a religious accommodation. And if the Democratic governor at the time, Beshear, would have done his job consistent with the Constitution, there would never have been a case filed. Mm-hmm. We would have had religious accommodation back then. And so this case has already gone up to the U.S. Supreme Court on a different issue during a preliminary matter in which the court has acknowledged that this case raises some serious constitutional issues, which the court ought to address. And I think this now is ready to address these serious issues.
And we're going to come back to this matter. Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel Friends. Stay with us, back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
It happens to many. You go through life on cruise control until the phone rings indicating a tragedy has occurred. Maybe you visit the doctor and receive devastating news. Or perhaps a spouse or family member is suddenly taken. You feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath you and your life forever changed. What do we do when our normal is gone? In the book, A New Normal, Dr. Les Olala guides the reader through four biblical steps when your normal is suddenly taken away. You'll learn that God doesn't intend to harm you with these events and circumstances, but rather His plan is to perfect you and to strengthen your faith. One copy of A New Normal is available for a donation of $10, three copies for $24, or five copies for a donation of $35. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
friends, it happened just days ago. Jury split on the Kim Davis same-sex marriage case, so-called same-sex marriage, that is. With us today is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. It is Liberty Counsel that is representing Kim Davis. So we have two juries. They both heard the same testimony, Matt, and came out with different decisions?
They both heard the same testimony. So this is kind of odd here because we had two juries, a panel of six and a panel of six, and they were in the courtroom at the exact same time. They heard exactly word for word the same thing, no difference. We broke at the same time. They heard the same opening arguments, the same closing arguments, and they went out and they deliberated, and the one came back in 45 minutes and said zero damages, and the other one came back a couple of hours later and said, we'll give them everything they asked for, which is $50,000 apiece, $100,000. Well, how do you calculate that? There's no lost wages because that was blown out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, you know, so then they punted. Well, we've got hurt feelings. Okay, so how do you quantify that? In fact, David said on the stand, well, it may not have any value. That's up to you. Well, no, it's not up to us. If you don't have medical or other kind of corroboration that you have emotional damage, you know, consequential to your emotions, then you can't do this. You can't do it. You can't have it, because otherwise everybody could come in and say, you know what, I've got hurt feelings. It's worth what? Let's say it's worth $100,000. Okay, we're going to give you $100,000. I mean, that's just absurd. So yeah, two juries, exactly the same testimony. One came back with zero. One came back with 50 apiece, or a total of $100,000 for the Ermold plaintiffs.
Wow. So, Matt, where do things go from here? You began that right before the break here, but what's next steps in all of this?
Well, next steps is we'll be filing this week what's called a judgment notwithstanding the verdict. So we'll be filing a request to the judge to set aside that jury verdict for the Ermolds. Notwithstanding what the jury came back with, it is improper as a matter of law, and we're going to file that as a matter of course. We need to do that. And then after that, we will take the case up to the Court of Appeals. And on the Court of Appeals, two of the main arguments we will argue are, number one, religious freedom,
mm-hmm.
That she should have been granted that under the Constitution and under state laws. And number two, that the whole controversy here started with a Obergefell, and a Obergefell should be overturned because it has no basis in law. And this would be a good vehicle to do it. So how ironic it might be that Kim Davis, this unlikely candidate, that you and I, Jim, we wouldn't, you know, God does these kinds of things, like he chooses these uneducated fishermen,
mm-hmm.
and they become the apostles that follow Jesus and give their lives to the Lord. He chose this person who was studying to be a Pharisee and was out trying to kill Christians, and he wrote most of the New Testament. We would never choose somebody like Kim Davis. We would choose somebody, you know, that has a pristine background. But no, he chose somebody who would be totally redeemed, somebody who had made a mess of her life and then stood up once she was totally redeemed, and then got thrown in jail for standing for her Christian values and in her Lord. And then perhaps maybe she's the one that would overturn this Obergefell decision.
Yeah, wow. Well, Matt, we certainly ask our listeners to be in prayer regarding this and regarding those next steps. And if the Court of Appeals does agree with you, would anything propel this to the U.S. Supreme Court, or only if there is objection to it?
Well, if they agree with us, then I'm sure the other side will ask the Supreme Court for review. If they disagree with us, we'll ask the Supreme Court for review. So either way, I think what we're going to see is this eventually will be presented to the U.S. Supreme Court for review on the issue primarily of religious freedom, mm-hmm. and the overruling of Obergefell.
Wow, wow. friends be praying that this could have a huge, huge impact across this nation. Could we see the downfall of Obergefell as a result of this? I mean, the potential is there for that to happen, just as we saw Roe v. Wade collapsed as well. Matt, we know that this issue has just spiraled out of control, the matter of from the Obergefell decision. I mean, all the matters that we're seeing with the promotion of transgenderism, we are seeing the matters of the military just recently began talking about the use of gender-neutral pronouns. We've got in California, they're on the verge of making it illegal to misgender your own child. And then also where they're passing legislation that would require parents to be affirming of the whatever gender the child deems to identify with and to affirm transitions going on as well. And in other places, we have judges ruling schools, you don't need to notify parents if kids are changing their genders or pronouns at school. So, Matt, we see what happened with this Obergefell decision is impacting so much more in all of this. Your comments on just some of these things that I've brought up here.
Yeah, you know, I predicted and others predicted that whenever a Obergefell or a decision like that comes down, there would be consequences like this. Because essentially what a Obergefell does is in a gender-based relationship, marriage is a man and a woman. That's obvious, and, you know, you don't need religion, although certainly our faith speaks of God making male and female and marriage as the union of a man and a woman. But it's an objective reality. It's like gravity. It is what it is. Male and female, man and woman, made for each other. And when in a relationship like that, marriage between a man and a woman, you say that gender doesn't matter. In a gender-based relationship, if gender doesn't matter, then what you're doing is you're attempting to abolish the very concept of gender.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, that's what we see with this you know, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, mutilating surgeries. We see this Department of Defense manual that now is going to be changed. They're not going to use pronouns such as he or she. They will use themself. They're not going to use himself or herself. They will use themself, which is not a word. It's not a pronoun. But they will refer to themselves in the context of giving out different awards to people, meritorious service awards, for example, when they write or say during the award ceremony to this individual who is warranting this kind of award, they will make up this pronoun called themselves. And this is the Department of Defense. But you're right. I think what we're seeing in California with the state suing school districts to force them to lie to parents, we're seeing this happen across the country, but you're also seeing a backlash. Right now, we have 22 states that are passing or have passed legislation, 22 states that have said no puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or mutilating surgeries. And in fact, last week on September 11, a week ago today, the Washington University Clinic in St. Louis, Missouri, which is their gender clinic, they decided that they will no longer give puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones to minors, and that occurred because of a whistleblower, Jamie Reed, who describes herself as a progressive, further to the left than Bernie Sanders, a lesbian, and she got tired of what she saw, and she went and did an affidavit and went to the Republican governor and attorney general and turned in that clinic. And that clinic now, the university has now abandoned that kind of mutilating, dangerous medication to minors. So there's a backlash that's happening, but there is just this insanity that's coming out of this abolition of gender notion. And I think it's linked right to this whole idea of same-sex marriage and the Obergefell decision. Yeah. When you abolish gender in a gender-based relationship and say that it doesn't matter, then you come up with this nonsense that you can be a boy or a girl or both or neither or a combination of whatever you think up in your mind.
Matt Saver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Friends, I'm opening our lines here. If you have a question you'd like to ask on our topic today or brief comment, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. 888-733-9829. Matt, I can't help but think of Kim Davis as just, as you said, just I'm just a person here wanting to honor my God with my convictions and what he has said in his word. And we see the national impact she is making as a result. And sometimes we have this attitude, I'm only one, it's just me. But my, how the difference one individual can make who will simply take a stand. And I used the analogy earlier, I'm not going to bow down to this image that the king has set up.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. I mean, if you look at how God prepared Kim Davis 4 years before this happened, she has this dramatic conversion where she gives her life to the Lord. 1 year before this happened, her mom has this back injury and is not going to be able to continue on. And then Kim runs for office, and lo and behold, the most important thing is right there in front of her with defending marriage as the union of a man and a woman. It's easy for people to run when something like that happens, but Kim stood true, and as a result of that, she got freedom for all the clerks in Kentucky. But I believe God has even greater plans to bring freedom across the country and to topple this decision that was wrongly decided back in 2015. Going back to what you said, one person just being true to the Lord, standing in the gap, and standing up can make a huge difference in their community, in our nation, and around the world.
Amen. Amen. Friends, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Tom in Port Wing, Wisconsin. Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I heard Matt describe these marriages as sham marriages, and I agree. Exactly how many gay marriages have been performed? And I would suspect that there would be more women marrying other women than men marrying men, because the homosexual movement never, ever wanted to have anything other than a sexual relationship, and then it's done and over with.
Yeah, you know, I don't know the exact numbers. I can say, however, that from other studies, Canada and other places around the world, you're exactly right. It's more women than it is men. And partly it's more women than it is men because if you look at even their literature and the writings from the homosexual community, they're saying that men don't really want the marriage anyway because they have these, what they call, open relationships. And so it was never really about marriage itself. It was about what it represents and symbolizes. And they didn't like the very concept of monogamy. So they wanted to abolish it. So it wasn't really about marriage for marriage's sake. It was about a symbol to have a bigger objective. But, you know, one of the things that happened last year is that Congress passed this Respect for Marriage Act. We opposed it, many other people did, but it did pass. Now, what does that do? It does not give a right to same-sex marriage because that would intrude into the various states. What it does say is that people who have a marriage license would be grandfathered in, if you will, if the marriage decision was overturned. So that takes away the big argument that they would have not to overturn Obergefell, because their argument would be, well, don't overturn it, because if you do, it's going to cause all this chaos. Well, no, this federal law came in, and essentially anybody who has one, it would be grandfathered in, but there's nothing going on after that. In other words, the states can stop them. So get the Supreme Court out of the marriage business. It's never supposed to be in that marriage business, just like it was never supposed to be in the abortion issue. Get it out of the way and go back to the way it was before. So I think we have a very strong argument to overturn Obergefell for several reasons.
Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We'll take more calls in 1 minute. Stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In the Old Testament, we see that one way God judges nations, particularly the nation of Israel, was he said that they would have economic crisis. They would have a crisis in their agriculture. They would have people losing their homes, and they would have invasions of their enemies into their land. Folks, we're not Israel, but there are only so many ways God can judge a nation. Apparently now God has given over America. We see all of these same things happening to our nation. Right now, I have to give you a warning. I'm talking to all kinds of regular experts like Michael Yon, Gordon Chang, Todd Bensman. These are men that are experts in their field. Publicly and privately, they are warning Americans are not ready for what's coming. We pray the Lord returns soon. He'll take us home through the rapture. But if not, I'm urging you to wake up and be aware of what's happening. There's a massive orchestrated invasion of the U.S. by people that hate Christians, hate Christianity, and hate America. Wake up.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us is Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Matt, just before we pick up our next call, those who have, need more information on this issue, or they're battling issues like this in their community, Liberty Council stands by ready to help. You've got a point of contact at Liberty Council for listeners to engage when issues, their First Amendment religious liberty is under attack.
Absolutely. You can go to Liberty Council's website, lc.org, and you can fill out the legal help form right there at the legal help tab, lc.org. We also have a lot of resources. And you can also call us 407-875-1776. That's 407-875-1776.
Great. Let's go back to the phone lines. Our number 800-733-9829. Holding the longest is Arlene. Hi, Arlene. You're on the air. Arlene, are you with us?
Hi, how are you? Yes, I was just listening in regards to this thing that's taking over our society with this homosexual. You know, you was talking about the judges and all that are rendering, their way of, passing judgment on cases. But in the book of Genesis, it talks about when Lot was trying to stop the men from invading in his home. And he said, who are you, or who made you a ruler or a judge over us? And there was a pastor that did research, and he was saying that in that day, it was the legal system that was allowing this to continue on in that time. And also in the book of Romans, we find that the Lord said that, when they did this thing, that he would turn them over, to that thing, and they would be reprobated. And also, I'm just quoting a book of either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It talks about a word there called effeminate.
Yeah.
And so they were just saying in that particular passage that, if you, I believe, would change your sex parts, that you would just be doomed.
Well, thank you for the call here, Arlene. God's word is very clear on its condemnation of what it calls it sodomy. And we know about the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God did bring down judgment against these cities because of their homosexuality. There are sodomite acts that were going on. And you're right, we do see in Romans chapter 1, those who are going down this path, God just turning them over to that reprobate mind, that mind of uncleanness and so forth. 1 Corinthians 6 also, bears that forth, that such are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's according to God's word, not mine. And so God's word does condemn this, and really that's, thank you for the call, Matt, that's really the basis of authority by which you operate is, that's the certainly God's word has spoken on this, and our religious liberty as believers in Christ hold to these tenets of faith.
Yeah, that's right. And so, when Kim gives her life to the Lord, in Kentucky, the way it operates is the clerk is not just a filing clerk. It's a clerk that has a name, a title, and authority, an elected position. And that name and their title and their authority is on that marriage license. So she would literally be putting her name, title, and authority as a stamp of approval on a marriage that conflicts with the scriptures, God's design for marriage. And that's why she said, no, I can't do that. That would be a heaven or hell decision for me.
Yeah.
This would be unfaithful. This would be sinning for her to do that. And that's why she took a stand.
We've got Danny calling next from Virginia. Danny, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. The gentleman, the brother that is representing on the talk about Kim Davis on her situation, I'm a pastor of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as myself, and I think from my understanding that there's others that have done the same thing that what I'm going to say. I have married numerous amount of people. I couldn't tell you how many I've married. But I quit marrying altogether for a certain reason, because I knew what was going to happen. And thank God that we've got people now that are representing these situations that is clearing the path to open back up for the liberty part. So the point that I'm getting at is the reason I quit doing it was to show, you know, so you cannot be accused of partiality or whatever, simply because the homosexual act and all this and that. Now, once you're bonded, so you're bonded in the state, and when you're bonded in that, then you, you know, if they're going to accuse you of you know, showing partiality against gender or against whatever or against homosexuality, whatever. And so here you go into a lawsuit again also on that. So I thought, well, you know, if I'm just not marrying anyone, then you're not making any difference. You're not making no difference. This is to avoid what was going to come. So I think the devil is going to send people around to the churches for that particular reason, in order to cause these kind of problems.
Pastor Denny, I appreciate the call. I'm going to have Matt respond. We're just about out of time on the broadcast. Matt, go ahead.
Well, I think people will be set up, churches will be set up on a lot of different fronts and have been in some situations. But I encourage you to do what the Lord has put on your heart to do according to the scriptures and not be worried about what the government is going to do in that respect, or somebody going to set you up, I should say, to come after you. Like, for example, you know, the baker ought to bake, the florist ought to make flowers, the wedding photographer ought to do wedding photography, the pastors ought to do all the things that pastors do. And if you get confronted by the government that says, no, you've got to do this and violate your religious beliefs, then take a stand. And, you know, it may not be comfortable, but I believe we'll win these things, and certainly we'll not win if we don't take a stand. So I encourage everyone to just take a stand. Yeah. We've been very successful at winning many of these religious liberty litigation issues.
Well, I certainly appreciate that, and thank God for people like you that is representing.
Yeah. Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, thank you. And if you ever have any questions or need, or any pastors, you or anyone else, just feel free to go to our website at lc.org, lc.org. We'll be happy to provide help. We do all of our work and help assistance litigation at no cost.
Yeah, it's obeying God rather than men. Quick comment, Tim in northern Wisconsin, just about out of time. Go ahead.
Yep, and I wanted to say that this is first and foremost a spiritual battle. Every time we see sexual perversion, you see demonic activity, which is why the Department of Defense is the pronouns that they are, them and they, because it is no longer one person. It is demonic activity.
Thank you very much. Matt, very much a spiritual battle before us.
Absolutely, it is a spiritual battle. So thank you for your prayers, but it is a spiritual battle at the core.
Yeah, lc.org, folks, is a website, lc.org. And to Pastor Danny or others, reach out 407-875-1776. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.